Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So I'd like to talk this morning on influence. We all have influence and we all want to have influence. How many of you would like to see things around you be better? I think we all do, right? Family-wise, work-wise, but most of the things that we're related to are people. And one of the reality is that you cannot dissociate being an influence to being an example. And that's what I'd like to portray, or I'd like to draw your attention towards this morning, is that we are called to be influencers, but you can't do that without being an example. And mothers, you play a big role on influencing your kids and people around as you live your life. And it's not just to you, but to all of us. We're all called to influence, and like it or not, we do influence. But one of the ways that you want to do that is by being an example. I lost my mom when I was around, I was 38, and she played a big role in my life when I grew up, but also when I was starting to be a pastor. By her prayer, fasting, and her role was significant in my life. And I'm really grateful for her influence. I don't think she saw the fullness of her influence on my life. And one of the things that we sometimes forget, it's how much we're influential. And sometimes we don't really see it, right? Sometimes we don't see it. We don't acknowledge our influence. And we all have a huge influence. I want you to know that. If you get something of this morning, I want you to know that you have an influence. And sometimes we think that we don't matter or what we do is insignificant, right? You look at, especially when the kids are young, it's like, man, day in, day out. Night after night, right? And they're totally dependent on you. And as they grow, then it just changes, right? It's different. It changes. And for sure, they walk more in independence, but you're always a mother. I look at my wife that is now a grandmother. She's always a mother. And the reality is when you become a father or your mother, it never stops. You can't say, I've raised my kids, and I'm done. For sure, the part of raising up, of being in their lives, you got to let go and let them fly. But you're always there as a parent, as a coach, as someone that you can, that people, the kids will come and ask your advice and all that. So you're always influencing. And so it's so important for us to realize that. And sometimes one of the lies we believe, what influence do I have? Well, you have significant influence. You play a big role on people that are around you. Whoever you are, a man or a woman, or you might be here and you might be a teenager or young adults. We all have influence, and we need to realize that. And one of the what happens when we don't realize we have influence, then we think that we can live our lives without consequences, or we think that we can do whatever we want, but we can't. We need to realize that we are all influencing. And I like what 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Look what he says. Paul is talking to this young pastor. And he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I remember when I was in my 20s, I really loved that verse as a pastor. But the challenge is, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. What Paul was saying, live out your faith. Live it out. It's something that needs to come from your life, flow through your life. But what I like about this text is that what he's saying, no matter the context, no matter your status, you can influence. And there Timothy was younger. And you see Paul saying, even though you might be younger, don't let that stop you. So wherever you are on the scale of life, you might be a grandparent, or you might be in your later part of your life, and you say, well, can I influence? Yes, you can. And you can influence the people around you. Even though, like Paul was saying, that this was a young pastor, but he says to him, but be an example. How will you influence the church? It's by being an example. And that's what Jesus did, right? We see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. We see him forsaking his own life for the benefit of us all. And so, and Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ's example. And so we want to see this, right? So when it comes to our role, it's huge. Doesn't matter the status, the age and all that. We all can influence. And here it says, in speech. We could make a sermon only on that. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In speech, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And so we have the choice of sowing life, or we have the choice of sowing ungodliness, right? And so we're called to, in speech, conduct, how we live our lives in love by our care and generosity, our sacrifices, in faith as we trust God and believe in God for things in life, for direction, also in purity when it comes to integrity and godliness. And so we can influence this. So what Paul was saying to Timothy, even though you're young, if you pursue that, if you let God do this in your life, you let God fashion you, you will be an influence. You will be an example. And this is by the transformation of the Lord, right? When you look, the speech, like it says in James chapter 3, is that no one can tame his tongue. The only one that can bring change inside, it's the work and the reality of the Holy Spirit in us, right? The fruit of the Spirit are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of me. And so I want to see that transformation inside of my heart. But I need to realize that God has called me to be an example. And if I seek to be like him, I will have a godly influence. Like, I believe that my life has ripples. It really does. And we all have ripples. We all influence. First is, whether positive or negative, the things we say and do can touch the lives of others in ways that we may not even realize. That's powerful when you think about that. You do your daily life. You might not have an emotional high. You're just doing life. Well, the thing is, if you do things in a positive way, according to God's ways, by what you do and say, it will influence others beyond what you realize. Have you ever been in a place where someone says something to you, does something to you, and for them it's not a big deal? Because you're just doing life or they're obeying the Lord and they see it as a small thing, but for you, it means so much, right? Have you ever been in a situation that you need prayer? And then someone says, hey, you know, you've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. It just, wow, it rocks you, right? Or you've been in a financial jam and someone comes and blesses you or gives you something or walk alongside of you where they pour into you their wisdom or God's wisdom. It's life-changing. And sometimes we don't realize and we don't know the impact that we have on people. And I need to remember that, yeah, God, you want to work through my life. You want to bring love and care and your ways to other people. And you've chosen me to do that. Imagine if we get up in the morning, we say, God, hey, I want to be an influencer today. Help me to be like you, right? Help me to be like you. I think it would touch people around. And we know that we're not very quick to say thank you, right? And so we know that it's not seeking the approval of others or wanting to have a pat on the back. If that happens, that's a bonus. But the reality is I need to know that what I do, good or bad, it has an influence. The ripples we create can outlast us, shaping the world long after we're gone. And we got examples of that, right? Godly parents or godly grandparents or ungodly grandparents. It affects us, right? And you can remember, and I know I've got some examples of people that have passed away, but they were significant in my life. And so their work continues in me. It's pretty cool when you think about that, right? So I don't know how the rewards happen, how it works in heaven. But I think it's like interesting, because there's some people that are dead already. And what they've done and what they said to me, It still fuels me today. So I don't know if their bank account in heaven just continues to increase. I don't know how it works. But like, so it's not because you passed away that your influence doesn't continue. You look at the example of Jesus, right? And you look at the example of godly people in history, how they are changing us and molding us. As a staff, we'll be going through a book of Andrew Murray. And he passed away around 1919. We're still reading his books. And we still learn from that godly man. And so you see, so when I do life, I need to realize that what I do today, it goes beyond me. And we know how life is short. It's crazy, eh? The older you get, the faster it seems to be going. I don't know, but that's what it seems to me to be the case with me. So whatever I do influences even after I'm gone. Viewing life as ripples encourages us to see beyond the immediacy of our circumstances and consider the broader impact of our actions. You know, sometimes we get caught in the today. We want anger to, we want to lash out because it's just boiling in our hearts. Or we want vengeance, or we want to live for ourselves and all that. But when you think about the outcome, then the right now is not as significant. I believe when you think about the future, it prevents you of doing stupid things in the today. It really does. When you think about the influence that you will have or what people will catch by your life, then you say, okay, if I do this, what are the consequences? And when we get caught in sin, when people get caught in sin, what happens is they're blinded to the consequences of the future. They just focus on today. So they're enjoying today at the same time, not really because they're walking disobedience, but the reality is the ripple will affect other people beyond they're gone, right? And so it's important for us to see that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So here we say that we're called to shine. And in the Beatitudes or in the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Listen, the salt and the light is a big deal. Like salt with preserving meat. Like it's like today's world. You are the fridge and the freezer. Like Jesus would be here and says, hey, church, you're the freezer and the fridge. And the light is still the light. But the light of the world, imagine no light. How this world would be darkness. One of the reasons why Jesus is not back is because of us. Because there's light. Wherever you go, you shine. You bring flavor as being the salt, but you preserve the coming of the Lord. Because we are the salt of the earth, it's a big deal. And so how I live my life and how I choose to be an example, it influences culture. It really does. We talk a lot about how we're influenced by culture, and we are. And we don't want to see us being a byproduct of culture, but we need to realize that we have significant influence. Like I look at my kids, and I'm saying, God, you want me to influence them in the ways of God. And God whispers back, well, be an example. Be an example. Show the way by how you live, right? So being Christian is not a private matter. It's not a show, but it's not private. When people say, well, my Christianity is private. No, it's not. It's being seen and displayed. There's no other way around it, right? And so we want to show Christ as we live our lives. Albert Einstein said once, setting an example is not the main means of influencing others, it's the only means. Wow. You want to see culture change? Be an example. Be an example to Christ, of Christ, and follow his ways. The reality is we all leave a trail. Like, you cannot walk in this life and not leave footprints. You do. You might go around, like I'm a bush guy, I was raised in the bush. You're going to break a branch. as you walk by. You're going to leave a trail, you know? You can go in the middle of the wilderness where there's not a human soul, and you'll see trails all around. You'll see moose trail. You'll see wildlife trails. We all leave a trail. And what trail am I leaving, right? Am I leaving a trail for people to follow that points to Christ? Or am I leaving a trail of living for myself and not realizing that I'm leaving a trail? So it's important for us to realize that we're all leaving a trail. Can you say that to your neighbor? I'm leaving a trail. I'm leaving a trail. What kind of trail am I leaving, right? And it's not about being perfect. It's not about being without flaws. It's about where you're going. If you're pursuing Jesus and you have a heart for God and you say, God, I want to do your will, you know, it's not going to be perfect because we still have our human side to it, right? One day we'll have a glorified body. That will be amazing, right? Can you picture yourself with a glorified body? Like, I can picture myself. Way more hair, for sure. Bigger shoulders, a little taller, right? Wow. It's I'll have a glorified body, and it's going to be amazing. And so I need to realize that it's not about being perfect. I will experience that one day in glorification, but meanwhile, it's pursuing God. And I'm going to let you know that when you pursue God, it shows. Did you hear me? That when you pursue God, it shows. The Bible says there's a fragrance of life. So it smells good. And then you point to Jesus, right? Do you think that we should smell good? Yeah, physically we should too. There's no reason. We got a lot, plenty of water. And soap, it's pretty cheap. But I believe that our fragrance should have a fragrance. To the world, it's a fragrance of death. But for us as believers, it's a fragrance of life. And so we want to see God transform us and make us, right? And so it's very important, right? So how do I become a great example? The first thing I need to do is to watch over my life. I need to watch over my life. I got to stop and say, hey, how am I living my life? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, we see Paul saying that to Timothy. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Focus on closely. Your doctrine is what you believe, and don't be caught by all the waves of doctrine. And today, there's so many doctrines, from not believing in the Holy Spirit to extreme grace to that Jesus has come or will be coming tomorrow. There's so many things out there. So you want to watch your doctrine closely. But it says, watch over your life closely. And he says, persevere in them. Don't quit. Don't let it be a flash or a flash in the pan or just a little fire in the pan. It says, watch over your life closely. Persevere in them. Look, why? Because if you do, you will save both yourself and the hearers. Hearers. You might say, oh, well, that's only for pastors. No, it's for all of us hearers. And so how we live our lives, it's being read by people, listened by people. So what we want to do, we want to watch over our lives closely. And not only watch it closely this morning, but persevere in it. You can bring that in your devotions. You really can. Every morning, God, I want to watch myself closely. You know how that looks? It's giving the right to the Holy Spirit to say, Claude, shut up. Or say something, or hold back, or, oh. Like, I want to hear the Holy Spirit say it in my heart, ah. Oh. Not to condemn me, but to make me aware that what I am going to say, I should not say it, right? So I want his voice to resonate in my heart. And so it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that leads us. So we want to watch over our lives, and we want to persevere in them because we are influencers. In watch over your life, it's because we're influential. It's not a maybe, it's a reality. It's not, well, maybe for you, but not for me. Is your heart beating? So that means that you're an influencer right now. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. I just going through this list, you're saying, wow, God, do a work in me. I'm looking at this. I'm saying the only way that can happen is when I'm surrendered to the Holy Spirit. But it starts with your thought life. It really does. How am I thinking? How am I processing things inside? So this is why you want to bring it to Christ. Look what Thomas Macaulay said. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. That's an awesome quote. Nobody's watching. If I would have carte blanche to do whatever I want, and there would be no consequence to it, what would I do? And what would I do? It's probably what is already in my heart. And this is why I need to shed, so that I might have Christ's mind and Christ's heart, right? But like Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, think about such things. And so it starts with your thought life. Your thought life is a big deal, right? How you see others, your conclusion in your mind, it plays on your behavior. It plays on what comes out of your mouth. It plays on your non-behavior too, right? Where you're not doing stuff because you have hurts or offense in your heart. It's a big deal, right? And so we want to deal with our thought life. It's to watch over my life. Watching over my life starts of addressing how I think. Am I thinking God's ways, you know? I like what Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked path will be exposed. It's going to come out, right? And so that's why we want to see Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Can you say that to your neighbor? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, you need to be transformed. He's talking to Christians here. That I need to be renewed. I need transformation at my mind level. And then it says, because I'm doing this, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I cannot test and approve God's will if there's not the renewing of the mind. And His will is good, pleasing, and His perfect will. And it's perfect. So what we want to see is that we want to see inner transformation. The reality is the only Jesus that people will know around you, it's the Jesus in you. Jesus might appear, He can do that, He's supernatural, He does whatever He wants, but for most of the case, the only Jesus that people will see is the Jesus through you. My kids, people around, I really think that my kids can come to a point where they believe God because they see Him in me. Right? It's huge, right? And so we have significant influence, right? The second thing is not to quit. Can you say that to your neighbor? Don't quit. Please don't quit. We are builders, right? We lay one layer after another. And when it comes to being an influence, it's not one shot or a try once and did not succeed and then I stop. No, it's building layer after layer. I remember my nephew was raised in a hockey environment, a lot of hockey. And he was, I don't know how old he was, 6-7 years old, and then he wanted to play hockey. And like we watch hockey, his dad is a Leaf fan, and I'm a Habs fan, so a little bit conflict there. So this kid shows up at the rink with a Leaf jersey, and he's all excited to go on the ice, and like he watch hockey on TV, and you know, he thinks about these players. He goes on the ice, and the first thing he does, he falls on his back, and he's so upset because in his mind he thought that he would play like those on TV. And so he starts to skate, but not really on the blade, but on his how do you call it, on the size of his feet, and he comes back crying, I don't want to play hockey. Yeah, it's not one shot, right? When it comes to character, when it comes to being an example and influence, it's not one moment, it's a journey. It's layer after layer after layer after, if you're a parent, you know what that is. Layer after layer after layer. For a pastor, sometimes it's frustrating because you layer, 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 and then you have a guest speaker that comes and people say, oh, it was so good, but you've put layer after layer after layer after layer, and then it reaches the eye of the people, and that's when the guest speaker comes. Oh, yeah, it's so good. And you say, I said that 100 million, trillion times. Layer after layer. So you don't quit, right? It's not easy. It's not instant. And sometimes we get discouraged. We are not in a generation that embraces persistence. We don't, right? We have a tendency of quitting easily. And this is why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. Building each other up takes effort. You're building each other up. You're making effort as block on blocks, bricks on bricks, right? And in Galatians chapter 6, 9 says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up, right? I need to remember my calling. Listen, I don't have a lot of time left, but you have a calling. You have a calling. You have a calling. There's a calling upon your life. Right now, at this moment, you're called to influence. You have a calling. And if I don't get this, then I live my life the way I want, but I have a calling upon my life right now. I'm influencing people right now, so I want to see it and walk in this way. Thirdly, be intentional. Walk in faith. There's something that really grabbed my heart not too long ago. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. You sow and water, and God makes it grow. Listen to that. I sow, I water, God makes it grow. I sow and I water and God makes it grow. So I want to sow and water because there's this promise that God will make it grow, right? And sowing, I can do that. And watering, it's not complicated. And when I water, I'm not even giving something that I have to produce. I'm just giving God. So I'm sowing the ways of God in other people. I'm watering, and there's this promise that God will make it grow. But if I stop sowing and I stop watering, there's nothing that God can make grow. So I just want you to realize that you are a sower and a waterer. And you, beyond your emotion, you're sowing, you're watering. You're sowing. The result goes to God. You know, sometimes we water and we sow and we say, God, let God do what he does. He will make it grow. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know the time frame. I don't know exactly. But if I sow God, I will, and if I water God, I will see God in it, right? So important, people. So important. It's to be intentional. I'm going to read a verse to you. I think it's so cool. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. So do not throw away this confidence, trust in the Lord. Maybe you're going through a rough time. You're waiting to see promises. You know, it's not perfect and will never be, but it's rough. What it says here, do not throw away this confidence, trust in the Lord. Remember, this is so huge. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience and endurance is what you need now. Wow. So that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. So you will receive what he has promised if you continue to be patient and endure and not to lose faith. Amen? Huge. My last point here. I need to be renewed and refreshed by God. One of the I had this in my on my Bible, and when I was younger, we leathered all our Bibles basically, and I have this huge case on my French Bible when I was younger. It's Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, But they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary, and shall walk and not faint. So beautiful, right? You wait upon the Lord, you're renewed by God. You go to God in prayer, God responds and God comes. When it comes to wait, it's not to be passive, but it's to expect God to move. And so we want to see that in our lives. My prayer this morning is that you would understand that you matter to God first, but you also matter to others. You matter to God because this is why Jesus came. It's to die on the cross, but you also matter to others. And you need to see it, that you're on a mission, that you are His ambassador. Right? You are His ambassador, ready for duty. And you know what is a call? It's to follow Him and realize that when you follow Him, others will follow you. Simple as that. But I need to follow Him. I need to be renewed in the Spirit. I need to see God just wash over me. I need to be in His presence. I need to take the time to hear from Him. So huge, right? Amen. I would ask you to stand. Thank you for listening. Father God, You're so amazing. You're so good. If you're here this morning and you're not walking with the Lord, maybe you came with your mom today, but you're not following the Lord, I just want to let you know that you are valued by God. You're valued by God. Before anything else, God cares for you. I just want you to open your heart to this truth. God cares for you. Just open your heart up. Just surrender your life to Him. Say yes to Him. It's going to change your life. There's going to be a peace, a sense of, okay, man, I find purpose. And God will unfold and reveal who He is and His ways to you as you connect with other believers. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, my life, I don't think it matters. Don't believe that lie. Realize that God has placed a calling upon you. I just pray, Father, for the release or the flow of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit would come and move upon each person here, that they would know deep down their calling, and that they would be strengthened by You, that they would be encouraged by You to continue to follow You and to go deeper in that walk, and believe that as they follow You, they're influencing culture, they're influencing their net, their relational net, or their community. So I pray blessing and grace upon Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.